This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome back into the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza. As always, our great friends at Val's. He's Searles, I'm Jessica, and sadly, we do not have another victory episode here today, Searles.
It is a good thing we're not recording this in like an immediate reaction after the games, because it's given me a chance to like calm down, not let my emotions run my thoughts, actually watch the tape, have more of a non-fan point of view, but more of a logistical point of view of what went wrong, why did we show up, what happened here, why 9 sacks, all those fun things. But yeah, super disappointing. I mean, that's really the only other way you can mention that game on Friday night. It was just a disappointing football game by the Huskers.
Yeah, you were, I told this on the air, you're kind of like rage texting me during the game.
Mm-hmm. I was, listen, I rage text when we gave up 7 sacks against Michigan. I'm sure you know that my anger level didn't go down with 9 sacks, because it's kind of the same thing that I saw Matt Rhule talk about in his press conference, right? Guys getting pushed back into the quarterback, getting punched in the face and not responding. I mean, yes, you lose 2 starting offensive linemen early in that football game. That's really hard to bounce back, but the standard is the standard. And I don't care who you are, what age you are, anything. When you go in there and you're protecting your quarterback, you need to literally be ready to lay your life down on the line for that dude, because that's the only way that you're truly going to have the most you can to protect a guy like Dylan.
Yeah, and I mean, they were not happy. I mean, I've said it. I mean, on the TV show, you could tell in his press conference on Monday. I mean, Coach Rhule's pretty pissed off, you know? And he said, He even called out the offensive line. He said, you should be so angry about that, seeing 9 sacks. And now, not all of them was their fault. But can you just maybe, because I know that, like, the miscommunication part has been a big issue of this, but just, you know, when you have 2 guys go out and you're having guys come in, I mean, how much of an issue is that? He had talked about maybe Emmett heard 6 and not 5 protection and all of that. We kind of dove into that a little bit, but how much is that just maybe part of the issue is having those new guys there, that breakdown of the communication?
Yeah, that's a huge problem. That in my opinion, is a bigger problem than just getting beat from a physical or a fundamental standpoint, because you've heard me say it on the show before. If all 5 are wrong, we can still be right, right? If all 5 offensive linemen are on the same page and we're all doing the same thing, regardless if it's the wrong call or the right call, but all of us are doing it the same, we can still make ourselves right, right? We can still allow Emmett to come and pick us up and pick up the blitz that maybe we didn't get, but he'll be able to get to it. But when 3 are right and 2 are wrong, or 1 is right and 4 are wrong, or however you want to slice it up, in any stretch of the imagination where there's not 5 guys doing the same things, it's going to be a disaster. And that is what we saw on Saturday night. You have a couple guys sliding one way. You have one guy that's IDing one side. Emmett thinks that's the ID. He doesn't bounce, or whatever it might be. That's the number one way to get your quarterback killed, is lack of communication. And I'm not putting the blame on him, but it starts with the center. Justin Evans has to make sure, especially when you have a young guard like Nat coming in next to you, you have to make sure that everyone is lined up and everyone's on the same page, especially on the road. When things are loud, I mean, I know Minnesota's not the Shoe and it's not Penn State.
It was the most hostile environment they've been in this year, I'll tell you that.
Okay, then yeah, that's a great point, right? I mean, I played in Minnesota where it's dead asleep, right? I've been to Minnesota where it's dead asleep, but that game looked popping. And so when that's happening, it's on the quarterback and the center to make sure they are on the same page, and then the other 9 guys around them are on the same page. And when that breaks down from a communication standpoint, that's where you start to see some of those errors that show up that are just drive killers, game killers. I mean, you start talking about sacks on 1st and 2nd down, it's really hard to overcome those on the road.
Okay, so it sounds like Rocco is going to try to give it a go. He had the surgery on Sunday, has the cast. So just going to be a pain tolerance type of deal. Pritchett will luckily, thankfully, be back since it was at the end of the first half. I was kind of a little confused on that, but you had corrected me on that. So at least you get Pritchett back, and we'll see how Rocco continues to progress. But I feel like all indication points to that he is going to go. He's a tough guy, wants to be out there. But I mean, how can you correct some of those things in a week that we saw if you do have to shuffle again?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is if Rocco isn't practicing, but he's still going to be able to go, he's a veteran guy, right? Like, if there was one person on this O-line that I wouldn't be worried about from a communication standpoint, it'd be our veteran right guard, right? Played in a lot of environments, played at Notre Dame. He's not the one I'm worried about. It'd be if Rocco practiced all week and then come Friday, he's like, hey, I can't go. And then you put the guy in there who hasn't gotten the reps with Justin. That's where I'd be a little bit more concerned, right? Same thing with Pritchett. He's going to take all the reps this week because he is back and he is the starter on that side. And so I'm good with that. Him and Henry should be able to have their communication back together. But it's just day one level install stuff is communication. And I think that is what Matt Rhule has the right to be so pissed off about, is when day one type installation stuff is going wrong in week 6 and 7, like, that's enough to make you want to pull your hair out as a coach. And so it's easy corrections. Like, that's the great part about it, is this isn't a go back to the drawing board, erase the whiteboard, blank slate, start over. Like, that's not the case at all. It's more about, listen, boys, you lost sight of the details, and the details get you beat. And when you're not the most talented team like Ohio State or Georgia or Tennessee, or these teams that have just talent oozing from every position and even in the depth part positions, details will get you beat. And then if you're on your details, that's what makes you win. And that's the point of the margins we're at with this Nebraska football team. We have really good talent. We have good players. We have good coaches, but we're not good enough that we can overcome bad details. And so getting back to making sure everything is detail oriented, every T is crossed, every I is dotted, is going to be paramount for us when we step back out there. And the nice thing is it'll be in front of a home crowd.
Not trying to make any excuses by any means, but got to remember, Justin, this is his first time at center, and he's been next to Rocco this entire season. Mm-hmm. Could it have been, too, that maybe he took for granted the kind of communication he has to give when those guys came in and they weren't the same bunch in that kind of situation, being thrown to the fire in that kind of atmosphere?
Yes and no, but I mean, he's at the point now where he's not a young player in my mind anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Justin has started a lot of football games. And so for me, I don't look at him and go, oh, well, he's young, he's still learning that piece in there. Like, he has to be able to understand that I am looked at too as a leader and a veteran on this offensive line now, regardless of the other four guys standing around me. And I think he also felt he got called out a little bit by Coach Rhule about how many 15-yard penalties have we had as an offensive line post whistle this year. A lot of those have been on 51, right? So he got put on notice a few pieces this week, and I think he's the type of player that I've watched that he's going to respond the right way.
I agree. I think he will as well. Well, and you know, we had talked last week against Maryland. I mean, and Coach Holgorsen addressed this in his press conference. It had improved and taken some steps forward. I'm glad that you pointed out, too, because I think if it's a good thing you weren't on Big Red Reaction as well, and that you have not seen the texts that have rolling in, because it is just, you know, everything is falling apart. But as you talked about, it's not, oh my gosh, end of the world type of stuff that, hey, we got to go back to the drawing board and fix everything. It is just some details that they lost sight of in this that they have shown that they are better than, right?
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that is the problem, right? I think us as a Nebraska fan base, and even me as an emotional fan at times, it's either this team's going to be 10-2 or we're going to the playoffs again. And then when you have, or going to the playoffs for the first time, or when you see a loss like that, all of a sudden in the back of your mind, you're getting the, oh my gosh, did they trick me? Are they still the same team that they've been the last 5 years that I've watched? Is this what the rest of the season's going to look like? Is this what the rest of the Matt Rhule era is going to look like? And we can just wind ourselves around this axle of, oh my gosh, here we go again. And why, yes, Nebraska and this football team has to prove to us that that is not who they are and that they are better than that. And we've seen glimpses of it. This is the true first punch in the mouth this team has taken this year. Right, we battled Michigan. I don't think we got punched in the mouth against Michigan.
Right.
I think we went toe-to-toe with Michigan and fought them to the final bell. Minnesota, on the other hand, came out and just haymakered us right in the teeth, and we never got back on our feet. And that is why we're all sitting here going, okay, this is a pivotal moment for this football team. But I agree with the fact that it's just a loss. At the end of the day, regardless if you lose by 100 or you lose by 3 points, it still just matters as a W or an L, in which column does it fall. This is a loss. This is why you play the game. I don't think anyone expected Nebraska to be a 12-0 football team, right? you're going to lose some games and you're going to win a lot of games. And I think that that is where I came back to it now once I was able to reset myself and not do Big Red Reaction, because that probably would have been really bad for everyone involved. you know, but to look at it and go, okay, it's our second loss on the year. We've got a lot of football in front of us. How is this team going to respond? Because that will be more important to me than how much we beat with Northwestern by or whatever it looks like. Because I do think we beat Northwestern. Like, but what do we look like when we come out of the tunnel? Is it a team that's coming out with a little bit of shell shock still from getting punched in the mouth last week on a late game on a Friday night on the road? Or is this a team that's learned how to truly learn from a mistake like that, take it back, to have a great week of practice and come back out ready prepared? And so it's not burn it down and start all over as much as I think that mostly it's just fear. I think it's fear of Husker fans going that we can't do this again. I thought we were past this. I thought we were over the hump. Listen, it's why you play the game of football, right? Ask the Philadelphia Eagles how the hell they lost to the New York Giants, right? I mean, there's just so many times where this is why you roll the ball out there, you kick it off, and you play the game, because football's the greatest humbler and it's the greatest equalizer there ever is. And we ran into a buzzsaw and we got punched in the face and we didn't respond. That's going to happen to you over the course of your career as a player and as a coach. It's about how you come out the next week is how you define yourself as a program.
And I'll tell you this, I feel like the way that it's been handled and the response from the players has been different than what I have experienced since, you know, covering this team and doing post-game interviews after losses. Like, I mean, they were very, very angry. They've been angry all week. At what point, I mean, I'm sure you've been a part of bad losses before. Like, at what point, I mean, it seems to have been fueling this entire week and it's still leaves the bad taste in the mouth. Does that happen until you can kick it off again on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how do you manage that?
You don't get rid of it until you can finally do something about it. Right. I mean, that sticks with you, a loss like that. And I'll point to 2009. Was it nine? Yeah. 2009. I believe we lost to Iowa State 7-9. And I think we had 8 turnovers. And so we had more turnovers than points. I do remember that. And you want to talk about a bad loss. Like, I think we were ranked like 12th in the country and they came in here and we just beat ourselves completely. And that whole week of practice was the same thing. Everyone was just super pissed off. Everyone was super upset, super mad. And it just lingered like this cloud over you. But what you have to be able to do in those moments is you have to be able to control that anger and not let that anger control you. And if you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about this many times, is you can be an emotional player, and it's good to be an emotional player, right? You want to have that energy and that passion, but you have to control your emotions. You can't let your emotions control you, because when you go out there and if you just play angry, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to outrun things. You're going to try and kill someone when it should just be a cover-up block, which is going to lead to a missed tackle or a missed block, whatever it might be. Harnessing that anger and harnessing that aggression and controlling it and putting it out on the field in the right way is the best way to get that taste out of your mouth. And usually you get it out in the first couple series, you get to go out there and actually physically assault another person. And then you're like, oh, okay, I feel better about myself. And then you start to roll. And then once you get that win, you can truly put that feeling to bed.
Do you take some solace of the fact that this one has lingered so long? I feel like
it should.
Since I've been here, this has been the most lingering loss around the program.
I think it should, because that shows you that we're moving in the steps of the direction of it's not just a let's get bowl eligible, right? I mean, we've been here, Jess. You and I have been doing this show through some dark, dark times where it's like, okay, how do we get to 6? Right? Like, what is the path to 6? Okay, we might lose that game, we might win this game. But when you go and you go, we should have won that football game and we're better than that, like, that's just the shift of the mindset of the culture and the shift of what you have the bar set for your team. And so when you lose to what you view as an inferior opponent, and again, I'm not taking a stab at Minnesota. I'm not trying to say that they didn't deserve to win the football game that night. But when you look at the body of work that Nebraska has done and the body of work that Minnesota has done leading up to that point, everyone and their mother would say Nebraska is the better football team. That didn't change overnight. Right? That didn't all of a sudden just be like, oh, well, Minnesota is the better football team than Nebraska now forever and always. They were better than us that night. Right. But when you view yourself as the superior football team, and you go in and lose a game to a lesser opponent in your eyes, it should piss you off. Like, it should make you mad. You should close your eyes thinking about it at night, and you should wake up the next morning thinking about it during the day, going, how the heck did we let an opportunity like that slip through our fingers? That's the stuff that you have to be mad about. And that's the stuff that shows me that the program's going in the right direction. The mentality's going in the right direction, because it has to matter to you.
I found it really refreshing, too, listening to the coordinators yesterday. I mean, both Dana Holgorsen and John Butler stood up there, and Coach Holgorsen said, I should have gone back to the run more in the second half. And John Butler was like, I was too vanilla. I didn't call it aggressively enough after that big run play. I think that's also positive to hear that, you know, hey, even the coordinators are standing up there like, hey, I didn't do my part either.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of growing and growing that as a coordinator too. You know, talk about Dana Holgorsen. I think all of a sudden he loses Pritchett and he loses Rocco. And in his brain, he goes, backup lineman can't run the football anymore. And then it was like, we got to get it into the players that are veterans and in their hands. And who is that? Well, that's our receiving core. That's this, that's that. Well, it's hard to protect your quarterback when you don't run the football with two backup offensive linemen in there. And, you know, I think that it just is things that happen in real time, and coordinators are just as much humans as players are, where you can get yourself in this rhythm and going and going and going. And until you actually get to back out of it when the game is over and reflect on it and go, I really screwed that up. Right? Like, I really didn't do a good job there. And that's good to hear, because that just shows, I mean, Bo Pelini used to say it all the time, I'll always point the thumb, not the finger. Right. And there was a couple things where you always will put people on notice and you want to be upfront with people. Right. You can't just always be like, oh, it's my fault you fumbled the football. Like, yeah, not really. Right. Like, I get what you're saying and I appreciate it. But like, you didn't miss the block. Like, I missed that dude and he ripped the call ball out of our quarterback. But I appreciate you. And so there's this fine line of being, hey, point the thumb, not the finger, but also making sure you're holding people to the accountable to the standard in which you set. And I think that with Dana Holgorsen, Matt Rhule
and John Butler.
Thank you. Freaking brain fart.
You were on the same team as him.
I know. Okay. I'm an offensive guy. You know, I don't care about defensive coordinators. Right. And John Butler, you know, there is a point where they do have to say that the buck stops with me and I am the signal caller. I am the play caller. I am doing all that, but they have to then be able to say, I'm going to hold my players to that exact same standard. And so I like that coming out of the program. That's what you need. And behind closed doors is where you can have the real butt chewings.
Okay. One more, cause it's Wednesday. I'm over talking about it. I'm ready for this team to,
I'm not over it. I don't know. I won't be over it until Big Red Reaction on after the Northwestern game.
You would have been over it if you would have done the show after the game.
I text Cody and I go, you're real lucky I'm on a flight to Seattle.
Okay. But, you know, I know a lot's been made too about Dylan Raiola, and I know he dives into the film. I talked to Glenn Thomas last week before the game, and going back to even Maryland, some of the times that he could have thrown it a little faster. And you even talked about it, you know, he's still a young quarterback, but what are some areas that he can continue to improve himself, especially as you work out some of the kinks in a situation if that happens again? But just how can he be better and try to help this offense along when it is not going well?
Yeah, you know, I love when there's a lot of sacks. I like to do what I call the pie chart of blame, which is you go through and you watch all of it and you go, okay, whose fault? Who gets the sack? Quarterback, tight end, running back, offensive line, right? Like somewhere in there. And as I watch that, you know, at least three, if not three and a half, in my opinion, pie chart of blame goes to Dylan Raiola. And I say that because I honestly believe that at times during that game, he looked like a quarterback that threw three picks the week before and really was a little gun shy of putting that thing in there. Right. The receivers didn't create a lot of separation, and you watch the tape and sometimes they look like they have cement for shoes.
And they were being told about it on the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, and so there's part of it where it's like, hey, you got to give your quarterback somewhere to throw the football. But there was a few times where there's a couple windows where you're like, hey, you could probably fit that in there. Like, go for it, kid. And he has been, versus I think this week, that was the first time that I saw him coming off a big three pick interception performance going, I'm a little gun shy. Right. I'm a little gun shy.
Which is human nature, right?
Human nature, young player nature, right? Don't want to turn the ball over. Want to be better with the football. Make sure we tear it with the football, right? The hopes and dreams live with you who carries the football. But he needs to keep his stinger. Right? He needs to keep his aggressive attitude. His ability to push the ball down the field is what makes him great. His accuracy is what makes him great, right? So he's got to do that. But he does have to clean up holding on to the football, because blood is in the water, right? Anyone who look, we're worst in the Big Ten. We're like almost third worst nationally with sacks allowed. Every single D coordinator is going to come after us. They're going to blitz. They're going to rush. Everyone smells blood in the water, and they're just going to try and attack and attack and attack. And until we can stop it by hitting the ball, putting the ball, whether it's hot, getting rid of the football, running the football better, we will continue to get tested the rest of the year because of what we've put on tape. And Dylan has to help us with that, of being really good with the football. And Dana Holgorsen has to be great of giving him answers of where to go with the football when we get pressured.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 68 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers.
Okay, let's move forward now. Look at Northwestern. Again, a team that you, going into the season, say, hey, that's a winnable game. Now they're coming in winning four in a row. They're hot. They have a lot of confidence. And as Coach Rule has talked about multiple times, they're going to try to do a little bit what Minnesota did and be physical and try to punch Nebraska in the mouth. When you're watching film, what stands out to you, or when you've watched Northwestern this year, what do you see from Northwestern?
This is a scrappy group, right? They don't have an all-star on defense, someone that you're just going to be like, oh, there's a draft pick for sure. He's a difference maker. But defensively, this team freaking bites.
And they're old.
They're veteran-led. They've seen a lot of football. They're not going to give up. Like, this group fights. And it is going to be a tough football game. Like, I don't think this is not a team where it's like, oh, Northwestern's kind of just figured it out the last few weeks, but it's all bound to fall apart. They don't beat themselves. Obviously, it's a very smart group of players, right? You have to be really smart to get into Northwestern. I only got a 21 on the ACT, and they were like, oh, you ever thought about retaking it? I was like, no, I'm not. And they're like, oh, best of luck, right? So, like, you got to be really smart to get into Northwestern, right? And you watch it, and it shows up on the film. But you look at just their last four games, right? They allowed 14 points, 7 points, 21 points, and 0 points. That's a heck of an accomplishment in today's era of college football, right? And you're talking about UCLA, Northwestern, Purdue, and then Louisiana Lafayette, Monroe, or whatever it is, right? But you're talking about three Big Ten opponents they've limited to under 3 touchdowns or less. That's a very hard thing to do. And what that shows me is, it kind of is a play out of Minnesota's book, is they control the clock. The time of possession is very lean towards Northwestern. They want the 3 yards in a cloud of dust and get the first down, bleed another 2 minutes off the clock and keep the offenses off the field. But yeah, this is going to be a really tough test for this Nebraska offense that's reeling a little bit coming out of Friday's game. Northwestern's going to really come after us defensively.
Okay, so we kind of talked about that. So if you're the Northwestern defensive coordinator and you're seeing what can be done, what if you're Dana Holgorsen and this offense, how are you game planning, knowing that they're going to try to just, you know, get after Dylan and disrupt things like these other teams have done? What are some, maybe some tweaks? You're not going to change everything, but what are some tweaks that we might see out of this offense this week?
I would like to see us go back to relying on the run. Right. I mean, I think, you know, a lot's probably been said about the opening possession of Minnesota, you know, 3 straight incompletions and punt. You know, when you're at home, you want to dictate the tempo of the football game. And I think the way you do that is your first possession kind of sets the table for the rest of the game. Right. You either give the defense a ton of confidence because they went 3 and out and they're going off the field. Or if you put a drive together and score a field goal or a touchdown, you now put the defense on their heels a little bit. And so I would love us to come out and start the football game way faster than we did last week, whether that's running the football, whether it's some screens, getting the ball out of his hands early with some slants, hitches, goes, whatever it might be. Or even, hey, if they're playing tight coverage, send one deep right away, right? Hey, we run the ball on first down and we see that they're going to play their safeties at 8 yards. Okay, well, give Hunter or Key or Barney a chance to go blow right by the safety that's standing flat-footed waiting us for the football. You know, so a lot of it's going to be just continuing to rely upon the run game to open up the pass game, because right now I think a lot of people are sitting in that zone, not really man coverage against us right now because of that, the RPO scheme, and they're not truly respecting our run game. So if Rocco can be back with Elijah back, I think that we really need to start establishing the run against this Northwestern football team, because as you look at our schedule going down the road here, we can't just rely on the pass as we go into the meat grinder that is November.
Okay, and then how about on the flip side of that, Northwestern, and again, Coach Butler saying they fully expect teams to try to run the football at this defense. So defensively, what are going to be the keys? They had some stretches where they played all right, and they were out on the field for a long time and gave up the big chunk plays again, almost kind of like a rent and repeat a little bit. But what defensively, what are you looking for out of John Butler's group to bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we talked about it quite a bit on this, but tackling. right? We got to be able to tackle better. And I don't know if it's something that's going to be fixed overnight, and we can talk about it till we're blue in the face, but we just have to be better about when we get our hands on guys, getting them on the ground. And I'm not even talking about the explosive plays. I'm talking about there was so many times in that football game where we would have him and we'd hit him behind the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden he'd fall forward and it's a gain of five or a gain of 6 yards. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Right? Like, you had him locked up for a minus 2 yard run, and then he spit out there. And that kind of has remnants back to the Michigan game, where a lot of those times we're hitting dudes and all of a sudden they're just bouncing out. So really finishing with guys on the ground has got to be very important this week.
Is that a mindset thing?
I think it's a mindset thing. It's a strength thing. It's just a, it's a combination thing, right? Tackling is a testament of will, right? Hey, you are standing up and I need you to fall down, right? And so I need to do everything possible and make sure I use good technique, good fundamentals, wrap up, head up, right? Drive my legs through, spin, whatever you have to do. I don't care if you got to bite him, get him on the ground, right? Like, do whatever you have to do. It's a mindset thing that if I'm going to make this tackle, you're not getting through me. And so you just have to do it, but you have to continue to do it right, properly. And too many times last week, the safeties are running down there and throwing their shoulders in, or not putting their head up and like really fronting it up, or using your leverage and making sure we have an end on the defense to funnel everything back. Too many times did Minnesota capture the edge on us. So there's just a lot of things there that you need to see this defense go. But the number one thing is getting dudes on the ground.
Why does tackling get worse? What's the cause of that? If it was a team that tackled pretty solid at the beginning and then it's getting worse, and that's what Coach Rule talked about. I mean, that's obviously, they don't teach some of the things that we're seeing. They've practiced it in fall camp. Why is it regressing, I guess?
Yeah, you know, as you get deeper into your season, obviously you play better talent, right? So, I mean, we're not tackling Houston Christian, right? We're not tackling the lower level teams that we played early on. We're tackling Big Ten football players, NFL caliber players. And, you know, you're starting to see a shift in football in general. I don't know if anyone who listens to this watched Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, right? Bijan versus Christian McCaffrey. And all they would do is just find ways to get those guys the football in space and then make people make one-on-one tackles. It's really freaking hard to make one-on-one tackles with guys in space. And so I think offensive coordinators are getting more and more exotic and more creative about creating one-on-one matchups, whether it's a swing route or a slant route or a lead on a safety, and you've got the just running back, he can break through the line of scrimmage. Now it's one-on-one with the safety who's 5-6 yards away. And so it is a schematic thing, but I also just go back to a little bit of, you don't live tackle in practice, right? And you just can't. You can't risk the injury of hurting your starters on a Wednesday because you wanted to tackle as you need them on Saturday. And that was a big thing for me when I got to the NFL, is learning how to practice like you played without being full speed. It's harder to do in college because you've got way different gaps of skill level, way different gaps of strength, way different gaps of age. And so you kind of lose the speed of everything when you're going against the scout team, right? When you're going against the scout team in college, you should beat up on the scout team. And so that angle that you take on a Wednesday practice against the scout team running back might work in practice. But when you go against live reps against the guy from Minnesota or Penn State, and that dude's a starter in the Big Ten, potential NFL player, that angle might be a little different. And so it's just about learning how to practice properly and practice at full speed, and then take those angles that you know you're going to have to take on Saturday, not necessarily against the scout team running back on Wednesday.
Okay, what are your keys for this one?
Yeah, first key is you can't have more than one sack. I'm sorry. I'm not, you're lucky I'm giving you one. It should be zero, but I'll give you one because, like I said, pie chart of blame wasn't all in the offensive line, right? So using the pie chart of blame, the offensive line's allowed one sack, right? You get one. We'll put that there, but you can't have any more than that. And it has to be personal. It has to mean something to you. And that also is on Dylan, of making sure he gets rid of the football and doesn't put our guys in a bad position. So that's kind of a tandem thing, is no one sack. You get one sack. Defensively, we got to create some turnovers, right? I feel like it's been a little lacking in the turnover margin, right? We had some really good ones there early in the year, but we haven't had a big stack fumble or a big interception or anything like that. We got to find the way to get the football away, not just turnover on downs. We need turnovers. So that's going to be my second key, is to get turnovers on that front. And then my last key is special team score. I don't care how we do it. I don't care if it's a punt return. I don't care if it's a kick return. I don't care if it's block punt. We need our special teams to spark us if we're down, if we're not great, or if we're doing great, just continue to flame the fire. But special teams, I think, is going to play a huge role in this game because of how good the Northwestern defense has been playing. giving our offense a short field and then also pinning them deep and making them go the distance against our defense is going to be really important. So special teams is going to play a pivotal role in this game when it's all said and done on both sides of the ball.
All right, who needs to have a big day? Players to watch.
Yeah, you know, I think a player that I'm really interested to watch is Pritchett. I want to see how he comes out and responds from I got kicked out of the game on an absolute BS targeting penalty because I threw a dude on the ground and then speared him. Yeah, well, don't get thrown on the ground and you won't get speared. I don't know what to tell you. So I want to see him come out and light his like I he is
spoken
our most
like a
talented.
True offensive lineman.
100%. You don't want to be you don't want to get speared. Don't get thrown on the ground. I don't know what to tell you, dude. It's not my fault. It shouldn't have been standing there, right? So you look at that piece there. I want to see him come out with some fire. I think he is athletically by far our best offensive lineman from a trait standpoint. I mean, he's still getting things cleaned up from a schematically and technique piece, but he needs to go and be a dominant left tackle like he can be in this in the Big Ten. I know he can. I've seen it on film too much to think that he can't be one of the best tackles in the Big Ten in the next couple of years, this year, next year. So he's going to be the guy that I'm going to watch there. And then I'm going to watch – I need to see Shavers and Wright be aggressive like they were against Michigan State. Michigan State, those dudes were in the backfield, no hesitation, shoot the gap, right? I see it, I pull the trigger, I go. Minnesota, they seem to get back a little bit to like the Michigan game where it was a little hesitant of, oh, where's that D lineman going to put his head? Which way is that linebacker? Do I want to go on this A gap or B gap, whatever it might be? And that little bit of hesitation is what allows those offensive linemen to either stay on those double teams longer or climb and get on you really quickly. So Shavers and Wright, I need to see those two guys on defense really be aggressive and really go up the field.
Shavers was hurt last week, so hopefully.
Is he back?
What?
Is he going
to
be back?
I think he will try. He tried to go, but he had the cast. He broke his hand in practice, and he was practicing where he was, kind of trying to see if he could, you know, what is that called?
Strike.
Yeah, and he couldn't. He couldn't. So I hope that he will be better this week. I think that was a big miss for this defense. I mean, he's just a guy that's all over the place. He plays with so much energy. He brings it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a big missing piece for this defense against Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree, right? And that's what I mean by I need to see that more from those two guys because Michigan State, they were aggressive. They were attacking. They were downhill. Those two dudes specifically have to bring that energy back to this defense.
All right, good stuff. You're back also, back on Big Red Reaction. Hopefully you're going to have a win to talk about, to answer all those phone calls, and you're back on the tailgater of the game, right?
Yeah, it's good to be back back home in Nebraska. So I was in Seattle this week for Monday Night Football, which was just an atrocious football game. But you know, we're back, so I'll be running around looking for the energy in the high Vs. And then remember the rules, no 90s, no backup quarterback talk on Big Red Reaction or else I'm hanging up on you.
It's a good thing, again, you were not part of Sports Nightly this week because we got a lot.
I'm sure. Everyone calm down. It'll be okay.
All right. Good stuff. As always, for Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. This has been the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's treasured Italian family recipes have been passed down for generations and still locally owned and operated. Valentino's proudly serving Nebraskans in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.